And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Thursday, August the 10th, 2017. 1:15 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. One of those hazy, lazy dog days of summer as we are about in mid-August, if you can believe that. Want to thank Clarence B. Jones for being on with us during the first hour today. Of course, Dr. Jones was the personal confidant, attorney, and speechwriter for Martin Luther King Jr. He wrote or drafted the I Have a Dream speech, so we thank him for being on in hour number one and sharing all of his opinions. If you were listening earlier on to the Charlie Evers Show, you know Charlie made the announcement here on this station from the Marion City Schools that the Marion City Digital Academy is closing, leaving about 140 students to enroll in different schools. The Marion City Schools Board of Education voted Monday to close it. Regulations and focus concerning operation and sponsorship of community schools have changed significantly in recent years. The changes have impacted the way the Marion City Digital Academy is funded and the district's ability to continue to partner to provide the program, a press release from the school district said. Wanted to get a little more information on this than what we already know, so we have invited Kurt Moore, on this program via telephone from the Marion City Schools. Kurt, how are you?
Good, good. How are you doing today?
It's always good to talk with you. Doing very well.
Thank you.
Marion City Schools, we get this, what hit the paper today, and we got the news release today.
Yeah.
For people who don't know, let's start out. What is the Marion City Digital Academy, or what was it?
Okay. Marion City Digital Academy was what is referred to as a community school sponsored by Marion City Schools. Really, the Digital Academy started in 2002. Students had the ability to take classes online, but they still had, teachers that graded the, certified teachers that graded their work. They could come into a lab to get extra help and stuff if they needed to. But they, they did most of their work online. It was the same curriculum as the regular school, state-certified curriculum and all that. The only difference was they actually, we gave them laptop computers or netbooks, and they did their work from home.
Now, who would be a candidate? What kind of a student would be a candidate for this program?
You know, honestly, that is all over. We've had a few. We've had students who, you may have students who had some of its learning styles. You may have a student who just had difficulty in what we call the regular brick and mortar schools. A regular school had some issues, for various reasons. Back in my this is a comment. I can't speak specifically about the Digital Academy. I think in general for Digital Academies, that type of stuff, it may have an issue where, students are being bullied in school or something like that, or they just learned a different way and the online curriculum was better for them. I know also that with our Digital Academy, we had students who did quite well who, Digital Academy gave them a chance to work ahead. They could work at their own pace. Sometimes that may mean they need just more time to, like let's say you have a student who has trouble in math, they may be able to work at their own pace, make sure they understand the math better, or you may have a student who's ready to go and who may complete a year's worth of work in less than a year and just move on to the next grade or whatever. I mean, it really goes over the board with that.
Now, as far as TRECA goes, because we hear the name TRECA as well, but if we don't have any students or family in Marion City Schools, how is this different from TRECA?
Okay, we, Marion's, okay, that's, you're testing my memory a little in the beginning. Before Marion City Digital Academy was created, keep in mind, when that was created, I was actually not at this job. I was over the star, so I'm going on memory here, but back before the Marion City Digital Academy was created, our students would have most likely enrolled in TRECA Digital Academy because that was the local option back then. Then the superintendent at the time decided to create the Marion City Digital Academy using teachers employed by the school district. So really, it was mostly our students Now, I believe a year or two ago, and I don't know exactly, but I believe a year or two ago, they started the option of letting students from other school districts enroll into the Digital Academy. But the majority of our students were students within the Marion City School District. Whereas TREC is a Digital Academy that, if I remember right, has students all over the state.
Now, 140 students were enrolled already in the Marion City School's Digital Academy. Now, would they have the option to go to TREC now? Does that exist?
Yes. And let me kind of go, explain that a little. These are some of the options they have. They could, okay, first off, let me start with Marion City Schools. You know, they have the option of going to a regular school. Like, they could sign up at Taft Elementary or Harding High School, wherever they would be, and just be like other students and go to school every day. The other option we offer is they can go to either the middle school or the high school, and they could go. We have online programming they can go into at the middle school and high school level. Not the elementary level, but the middle school and high school level. You know, they could go there and enroll but be an online student, very similar to what they're doing now at the Digital Academy. And we highly encourage students to do so. Now, if they do not, you know, want either of those options, they have the option of TREC Digital Academy. I believe there's another Digital Academy locally or maybe in this region called GOAL, G-O-A-L, or other Digital Academies around the state, you know, that they could. Most of the Digital Academies around the state are statewide Digital Academies they could enroll in, including TREC.
Now, we are just, I think, under 10 days from the start of the school year. Why did this announcement come so close to the beginning of the school year? Did something happen of major significance?
Yeah, let me kind of explain. This is kind of how it goes. And a few different things, if I can kind of back into this question. When the Digital Academy was created, regular high schools, comprehensive high schools, do not have the option of offering digital programming. You know, that has changed. Now a regular high school can offer online classes. We've already been looking at the possibility of transitioning the Digital Academy program into the school district. Now, that said, the regulations and focus concerning operation of community schools have changed. And, you know, it came down to an issue of funding. And, you know, the funding that we, learned we would receive was not enough that we felt we could, you know, in the best financial interest, continue to operate the Digital Academy at this time. And I believe it was very recently we learned of, you know, we got an update on the funding and we had to make a decision that, you know, because of that funding and the difference, I don't have exact numbers on me right now, but because of that funding and the difference, it was in the best interest for the district to go ahead and accelerate that plan and to go ahead and merge the Digital Academy programming into the district.
Now, merging it into the district, how does that work?
Okay, by that, what I mean is, you know, we basically, like I said, you know, we did vote to close the Digital Academy and giving students the option to become students within the school district, either in regular classes or through the online programming at the middle and high school. That's what I mean by merge.
Right. You say it did come to a vote by the school board.
Yeah, the school, Marion City School Board voted on Monday.
What do you know what the vote was, how close it was?
Oh, it was a unanimous vote.
Unanimous vote.
Yes.
So there just simply was not funding for the program to keep it up to standards. Is that something that would be proficient to say?
Yes.
Okay. So now these students, because of open enrollment, do they have to stay in Marion City?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. No, they could. Okay, they would have the option of open enrolling elsewhere. Now, I do not know the other district's open enrollment policies, if there would still be time to do that. And, for instance, if, like, let's say there were a Pleasant or Richdale student that went to Marion City Digital Academy, they would, if no place else, return to their home schools, wherever that may be. But, yeah, when it comes to open enrollment, that would really depend on the other district's open enrollment policies. If they still have time, you know, still have enough space to bring in students, and whatever their policies are regarding open enrollment.
For students who plan to finish out their academic career on this program, how does the crediting system work? Will that all translate okay? Will that all work out if they are not able, because obviously they are not able to go to the Digital Academy anymore.
Right.
Does that translate just right back into regular school?
Yes, yes. They will be able, any credits they receive through the Digital Academy, they will transfer over to whichever school they are at. They would receive their transcripts, like if you went from Marion City, and if you moved into River Valley, you know, they get their student transcripts. They bring them to the new school, and they put that into their system.
What was the
We would send it. I don't know exactly how that works, but we would send it to the new school to make sure they get that information.
What we've talked about, obviously, one of the big issues is funding for the program. Why has it slowed down?
Why has the funding slowed down?
Yeah, yeah. What do you believe the reason is? Was it a popular program?
I don't know how you want to state popular. Basically, it comes down to, and this is kind of getting in an area I don't exactly know. I only want to say so much because I'm not really the best person for that particular question. But basically, what it came down to is, you know, there's been a lot of increased focus on the operation of community schools. In that, they're tweaking how they're funded and stuff like that. And what the formula they use to determine that funding, you know, we discovered using that formula of how they count students and everything, we would receive less than we expected to receive.
Mm-hmm. And Marion City Schools starts school pretty soon.
On the
17th here,
yes,
in Marion. How are things going? A lot of changes this year, you know, new superintendent. How is the superintendent search going?
I do not know particular on the superintendent search. I know we have Steve Fuji for now as the interim superintendent. He'll be serving us. He was already employed with us. He was the director of College and Career Success. He's responsible for some of our programs like the Graduate Pathways to Success and some of our, you know, other innovative programs. At this point, I have not heard from the school board or administration exactly what the next step is on the search. You know, basically, they had a search. They wanted to kind of, you know, they really didn't feel, they just found that winning candidate they wanted. They wanted to regroup and restart the search at a later time. And at this time, I do not have details on what the exact plans are for that.
What do you attribute a lot of the turnover this year, a lot of new assistant principals at Harding that came from other city schools, a lot of new principals in general? What do you think the cause of that was?
You know, honestly, I can't exactly say. I think a lot of it was just, you know, people were offered better opportunities elsewhere, or probably, I guess the correct way to put that is, you know, most likely, you know, they were able to be promoted elsewhere or move into positions elsewhere, you know, that they could get more, you know, bigger salaries. And because of that, we had, you know, we were lucky enough at Marion City Schools, we, you know, had a very, you know, excellent quality staff. We had, you know, as one person moved up, we may take an assistant, like let's see, use high school as an example. You know, we had Jennifer Musbach, you know, we knew she was very good at what she did. You know, we were able to move her up to that high school's position when Forrest Tristler accepted employment elsewhere. But when you move her up, then you have to fill her spot, and, you know, they had to take somebody else and move them into that assistant principal spot. So, I mean, some of it was just, you know, as people left, they needed to fill that spot, and if they took another administrator or whatever, fill the spot that got vacated. So I think the biggest answer is that, just people, you know, some of them just found other opportunities with those school districts. I don't really think there's, like, any huge, you know, thing with it. It's the same thing. You know, we get people from other school districts that want paid more or whatever and say, hey, let's go work for Marion City Schools. You know, there's somebody else wanting to pay them more or whatever, and or in some cases they may be closer to family. I think in a few cases they were closer to where they lived, and so when they got offered a job closer to where they lived, they can drive 15 minutes instead of an hour. Why not take it?
I think a lot of people would agree with that. And finally, as the new school year gets ready to start here in 7 days, hard to believe, what is everybody looking forward to this year? Are there any changes aside from personnel or any new programs or ideas that you can talk about at this point?
Not really any new programs. One thing we are very excited about is our new turf. We have the synthetic artificial turf that is, project our community came together. They donated toward that. We were able to install that. We're really excited for the upcoming football season and to let the public see that and positive changes at our stadium. As far as programming, it's going to be pretty much just staying where we are. I mean, we've really tried to focus very closely on this is basically it. We're really trying to prepare students not only, for academic success, but to succeed in life. We want them to be able to leave school, and then we want them to either get into college, get into the military, an apprenticeship or a trade school, or get into a, high-demand, good-paying job. And we're really trying to work with things like student leadership, with college and career-ready skills like soft skills and stuff, and make sure they have the skills they need to be successful. So, this next school year, we're really going to continue to focus on that. The same thing we've been doing, kind of stay the course. We've heard from our community partners. They like the direction we're going in. We just want to continue in that direction and do the best we can to prepare these students for their future.
Just one final question on the Digital Academy. When the parents and the students were informed on Tuesday, what was the general consensus from them? Do they have any trepidation at this point?
I can only give so much because I wasn't really there the whole time they've talked to parents. What I've heard, if parents are understanding, they're definitely disappointed. I think a lot of them had a close connection with Rick Fogel, our director, and with the Digital Academy and the teachers. I mean, it's all, anytime something like this happens, but I've heard they've been very understanding and thankful for the opportunity to go in and discuss this and everything.
As far as personnel, were there people who were let go?
No, everybody has been. Everybody will have a spot in Marion City Schools.
Oh, okay. Well, that's very good to hear. Yeah. And again, for those of you just tuning in, we're discussing with Kurt Moore of the Marion City Schools the fact that the Marion City Digital Academy is closing this year, leaving about 140 students to enroll in different schools. Have any of those students made the choice yet, or do they have a deadline, or is there anything like that?
Well, I mean, school's coming up. I mean, they have to hopefully make a choice here within the next few days, and there have been students who have completed the process and enrolled elsewhere. I do not know the exact number of how many students have done that. It's an ongoing thing. We've got people helping with that, but, we have students that have already made that transition to wherever they're going to be.
Oh, very good. Well, Kurt, it's a pleasure to talk with you. I thank you for shedding some light on this, and onward and upward, everybody will go.
Definitely.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Kurt Moore from the Marion City Schools, and again, the conversation was relaying around the Marion City Schools Digital Academy closing this year, leaving 140 students who were enrolled in that particular program to enroll in some different school. The Marion City Schools Board of Marion City School Board voted unanimously on Monday to close it because of funding, is what we seem to understand there. If anybody has a question or comment, give us a call, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Certainly would love to hear your opinions on anything that we talked about in hour number one with Clarence Jones, or anything we just talked about there with Kurt Moore. And again, we thank Kurt quite a bit for taking the time to discuss that with us. Now, something else, again, 740-383-9944 is the number. Give us a ring and we'll get you up on the air. 34 minutes past the hour, so we have 26 minutes left. We can discuss whatever you want. And one of the things I want to discuss is Charlie, again this morning on his program, was talking about Issue 2, which in November will be coming up. And apparently, if you watch Channel 4, 6, 10, or WOSU Channel 12, you are hearing a lot about Issue 2. Now, nobody was really quite sure what Issue 2 was. Now, here is what it is, as best we could decipher this morning. A yes vote for issue two this November will support the measure to require state agencies and programs to purchase prescription drugs at prices no higher than what the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, the VA, pays for them. A no vote opposes this measure to require state agencies and programs to purchase prescription drugs at prices no higher than what the VA pays for them. So in a nutshell, this is what it is. The initiative would require the state and state agencies, including the Ohio Department of Medicaid, to pay the same or lower prices for prescription drugs as the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, the VA, a department that negotiates drug prices with companies and typically pays 20 to 24% less than other agencies for prescription drugs. Specifically, it would forbid state agencies to enter into any purchasing agreement with drug manufacturers unless the net cost of the drug is the same or less than that paid by the VA. Issue 2 would apply in any case in which the state ultimately provides funding for the purchase of drugs, even if the drugs are not purchased directly by a government agency. Examples of such cases include Ohio Best RX program and the Ohio HIV Drug Assistance Program. So, what this issue is all about, to break it down, is, and I'm not sure why this is, I would love to know why, but apparently the VA, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, by the way, founded by President Harding, negotiates the price of their drugs with the drug company. They negotiate the price, and they pay 20 to 24% lower than other government agencies, Medicaid being one of them. And Medicaid would be the program that people who are lower income are on. Also, the HIV Drug Assistance Program, the Best RX Program, and I would guess here, I don't know where Medicare falls, because Medicare is run by the federal government, but Medicaid certainly is a big one, because a lot of senior citizens also have a Medicaid supplement. So, anything run by the state in that particular state would have to get the same rate that the VA gets. So essentially, apparently somebody looked and found out that because the VA was negotiating the rates of their prescription drugs, they were getting them 20 to 24% cheaper than what everybody else was. So essentially, if you vote yes for this, if you're on Medicaid or know somebody on Medicaid, everybody on Medicaid would have to get the same rate that the VA gets. It would forbid state agencies to enter into any purchasing agreement with drug manufacturers unless the net cost of the drugs is the same or less than that paid for by the VA. Now, I guess some of the fears in this would be is that the VA would no longer be able to negotiate low costs. And I guess another fear would be that maybe the companies who supply these drugs would not negotiate with Medicaid the way they negotiate with the VA. So I don't know. What do you think? Do you think this is a good or bad idea? Do you like issue 2 or not like issue 2? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. This will be on the ballot here in Ohio come November. And it is interesting that the money is coming from some different places. As of August the 5th, only 5 days ago, yes on issue 2. Now, these are the people who want the prices lowered. These are the people who want the prices to be the same as the VA. The campaign supporting issue 2 has raised about $6.23 million. And 99.99% of that is coming from the AIDS Healthcare Foundation. A total of $1.87 million was spent to collect The 184,354 valid signatures required to put this measure before voters, resulting in a cost per required signature of $10.13. Now understand that. The group, the AIDS Healthcare Foundation, essentially spent $10.13 to get each signature of the 184,354 that they needed to get this on the ballot. They did not pay that to the people, but what they did, that's how much they had to spend to get the advertising out there and the workers out there to get the signatures, to get the initiative on the ballot. So that's already done. Now, opponents of this are the people who want things just to stay the way they are and not change. No on issue 2 has raised $16.23 million. Now remember, the group to vote yes on it has raised $6.23 million. The group against has raised $16.23 million. Exactly $10 million more than the group has to vote yes. Now, interestingly enough, that $16.23 million, all of it, according to this, came from Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America, Pharma, a pharma subsidiary. So the money against this is coming from the Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America, the people who make the medicine. Now, they are spending $10 million more dollars than the people who want to get this passed. Now, why do you think that the people who are manufacturing the money are funding the campaign against this issue 2, which would lower the rate the state Medicaid would have to pay for prescription drugs? Somebody's got to have an opinion on this one. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a, because this involves you. This is right here in Ohio. Would love to hear your opinion with about 17 minutes left in the hour, 42 minutes past the hour, coming up on 43 minutes. But why do you think that's all going down that way? What is your opinion? 740-383-9944. Or if you have any opinion on Marion Digital Academy closing, or if you have any opinions on what we talked about with Clarence B. Jones in hour number one, which of course was everything from North Korea to President Trump to what happened in the election last year. We talked about it all. But this issue too is very, very fascinating. And if you have an opinion on it, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-WWGH. Just give me a call. Would love to hear your opinions on that. And why do you think the pharmaceutical company is spending so much money to defeat this initiative? Now, from what I've heard, I have not seen the commercial. I guess Bernie Sanders is the main person in the commercial who wants you to vote yes, and veterans are being used in commercials to support no. So that's, if you see the commercials on 4, 6, or 10, the Bernie Sanders group is the less funded group. They're the ones who have $6.23 million. And the pharmaceutical company, which is using the veterans in their commercials, I believe, is spending $16.23 million. So that's how it all goes, folks. And once you dig into it, it's awful interesting. Because if you just saw the commercials on how they are, would you know that that's what it's all about? Give me a call, 740-383-9944. 740-383-9944. Would certainly love to hear from you. I don't understand. I haven't really seen the commercials, to be honest with you, but after talking to Charlie, who apparently has repeatedly seen these commercials, his belief is that he didn't quite even know what the issue was about after seeing the commercials. So maybe the people who are making these commercials might want to rethink how they're making them, because apparently it's very confusing to the people who are watching the programs, who are watching these spots that are airing, trying to get this stopped or passed. So when you add this up, just on this one issue so far, it's unbelievable to think that over $22 million, $22 million is being spent on this issue alone so far. And we are not even amped into the heavy time yet. We are in August. This will not happen until November the 8th. We are the 7th, but it's November the 7th this year is Election Day. We've still got about 3 months to go before this issue is even voted on, and over $22 million has already been spent by people for and against this issue. You would think that maybe they should just take that money and make up the difference in the prescription drugs, and then we wouldn't even need to vote on this issue anyway. The price would be lower. So there's my 2 cents for the day. But I want to hear your 2 cents. Make that telephone ring if you're out there listening. Give me your opinion on issue 2 coming up here in Ohio. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Certainly would love to get your opinion. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott. This is Sean.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Okay, on the issue 2 situation, I say no.
Why do you vote no on that?
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I think senior citizens need to have better, medicine and cheaper medicine and stuff. But, you know, our veterans, they work very hard, you know, fighting for the country. And that's one of the benefits that they have, one of the perks. And I don't think we should have the same perks as the veterans, because, you know, they risk their lives every day, and they should have a lot better perks than we do. That's one thing. That's why I say no on that.
Well,
what do you think?
From my understanding, they're not trying to take it away from the veterans.
No, I mean, I don't think they should match. I mean, that's a perk for them for honoring the country. I don't think everybody should not have the same coverage, I guess. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm saying it wrong.
The veterans would continue to be completely covered. Nothing would change
right.
for them. Even if the price went up, they're not going to see that, because it does. I guess if you are a member of the Veterans Administration, all your stuff is covered, period. So it doesn't matter
right.
if the price jumped 24%. You still, the consumer is not going to see the price hike. All it's saying is that we have more people on Medicaid than we do members of the VA, and Medicaid is not allowed to even negotiate with the drug manufacturer, but because the VA does negotiate, they give them a 24% cheaper rate. So all it's saying is whatever the VA gets, Medicaid would now get. That's never going to hit the consumer, because you're going to get the drugs regardless. Because you're a member of the VA or because you're on Medicaid, it just, how much is the state spending on it?
Okay, so in other words, the state will get the same coverage for the Medicaid people as they do for the veterans?
The same price, not the same coverage.
Same price.
Yes.
Same price.
Right now, if you're the state, Medicaid, they cannot even negotiate. Whatever the drug company says the drug cost, that's what they pay. They cannot negotiate. The VA, that's the law.
So isn't that run by the same people, or is that different?
No, the Veterans Administration is run by the federal government, but it's the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. And they're allowed to come in state to state to state, and they actually negotiate. the Veterans Office says, we're only going to pay this much because we've only got this many funds for this drug. But Medicaid is run state to state, and they are not allowed to negotiate. Whatever they say, see, that's what the commercials are trying to get you to believe. They're trying to get you to believe that we're punishing veterans if we vote no on this, and that veterans all of a sudden are going to be suffering. No, the veterans' benefits are not going to change. The cost of their drugs might go up, but they're not going to see that because their benefits aren't going to change. But the problem is, all it's allowing the state to do is negotiate Medicaid. They're not even allowed to negotiate. The pharmaceutical company can set the price, and they do, 24% higher for this exact same pill. And the state can't negotiate that down. They're not allowed to.
I did not know Medicaid was, that's good to know. I didn't know Medicaid was state to state. I thought that was federal, too.
No, Medicaid is state to state, but also all the Ohio's Best RX program, the Ohio HIV Drug Assistance Program, cannot negotiate with the pharmaceutical companies.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I misunderstood the issue. I was reading that issue myself, and it's kind of confusing, I guess. But now since you broke it down in that terminology, I guess.
Yeah, nobody's
in a different way.
Nobody's benefits change. If you're paying nothing on Medicaid, you're still going to pay nothing. If you're paying nothing at the VA, you're still going to pay nothing. It's just the price might go up for the VA paying.
Did you read the issue at all? It's kind of confusing, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I read the issue, but it's interesting to me when you look who's funding it, because.
Right. The big pharmacy company.
Why are the pharmaceutical companies spending $10 million more dollars than the people who want to vote yes on it? Why are the pharmaceutical companies wanting you to vote no?
Probably to put more money in their pocket.
If the state can negotiate with them.
Yeah.
So if the pharmaceutical companies were voting yes, then I would say, well, yeah, they're probably trying to stick it to the veterans. But why are the pharmaceutical companies spending $16 million to vote no on this?
Oh, they don't want to do any kind of negotiation. They don't want to lose money.
Right. But see, because of the commercials, what you had seen, that's what they're trying to get you to think. They're trying to get you to think.
Exactly. That's why. You see why I was getting that first, but since you broke it down, I mean, I guess I understand now.
Well, yeah, and
that commercial is kind of confusing.
Well, yeah, because what they're trying to get you to think is that, this veteran did so much for the country, and now we're just going to take away their benefits. That's not it at all. And the veteran should have good benefits, and I'm glad they do. But that's not going to change. What would change is it would free up the state to negotiate with the pharmaceutical company and not allow the pharmaceutical companies to gouge them anymore.
Well, I'm going to have to go the other way then, because I'm going to have to say yes, because turning down or whatever it is, you know, don't allow them to do it, because to me, I'm just for myself, medical is just way out of control. Insurance is just, I don't know, healthcare is just, I don't know. It's nuts.
Well, it's interesting.
My plan has these, it's called three tiers now, and they don't know what covers what and what doesn't anymore.
Well, here's an interesting question, and this is just a curious question. Let's say you need a blood pressure pill, okay? And the VA goes in, and they're able to get that blood pressure pill for $5 a pill. And the pharmaceutical company that gives the VA that pill for $5 a pill turns around and gives it to the Medicaid program, same pill, but just because you're on Medicaid, charges you $7.50 for it, which is essentially what's happening.
So it's like price gouging.
Well, the state is not allowed, the Medicaid program is not allowed to negotiate with them, so whatever price the pharmaceutical company says the pill is, you have to pay it.
Well, I think the government should be able to control all that across the board. You know, just like I said before, even on the, I mean, I know we're not talking about healthcare right this minute, but I think we should have the same coverage as our senators, you know, and I said that from day one. You know, who cares? I mean, everybody should not have a different healthcare system. We all should have the across the board, same healthcare, same coverage, and then they don't want to have to worry about all this price gouging and all this mess. what's going on right now.
Well, but you see, you wonder why we don't, because look at how misleading these ads are. And it's okay to vote no on this. If people want to vote no, it's okay.
Oh, yeah, it's right, man. Everybody has their opinion. But
you got to know what you're voting on and why you're voting on it. The Veterans Administration is set up, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs is actually what it's called. They are set up out of Washington. The benefits to the veterans are not going to change. It's a set thing. Now, they might end up having to pay a little bit more for the pills. Not the veterans, but the government might have to pay a little bit more. But think of the money the government's going to save, because they also fund Medicaid by paying 24% less for the exact same pill.
See, isn't that wrong? That's totally wrong in my book.
Well, that's what it's all about.
I'm glad they're bringing this to the. Is this across the board? Or is this just Ohio?
Well, no, every state. Medicaid is dispensed by the federal government to the state, but the state cannot negotiate with the pharmaceutical company on the price of the medicine.
So is this going to be on everybody's ballot or just Ohio?
Just Ohio, issue two.
I wonder why all the states doesn't go to this.
Well,
doesn't all states have Medicaid?
Yeah, but you got to get it on the ballot. And it, one of the early parts of this story was it took... let me get the figure here. It took $1.87 million just to get, and you needed 184,354 signatures in Ohio of voters to get this on the ballot. They've already spent, the AIDS Healthcare Foundation, who's funding the yes vote, spent $1.87 million already just to get it on the ballot, because you had to get voters to sign up to put it on the ballot.
Like all the states, Ohio. Is all the states like this right now? I don't know.
Yes.
All the states are same as Ohio right now. If we get this passed.
Yeah, I don't know if the prices are as whacked out as Ohio's are, but no state is allowed to negotiate with the pharmaceutical companies. But the Veterans Administration is, and when they negotiate it, they get it 24% cheaper than people who aren't allowed to negotiate.
So if this does pass, that means the federal government will be over it, not state to state. Or not over Ohio. It'll be the government that can control the... Or am I wrong on that?
No, Ohio. No, it's only Ohio. This issue, too, is not national.
I guess what I'm saying is in Ohio, our government can step in and negotiate, or is it that to be the state problem?
No, the Ohio.
Okay.
What happened is the state of Ohio, who controls how the Medicaid money is dispersed, will be allowed to go to the pharmaceutical company and say, we're not going to pay that rate. A matter of fact, what it does is it puts a law in place that says you cannot pay more than the VA. So the pharmaceutical company has to give it to you at the same price they're giving it to the VA.
Okay, now what about my health plan? Does that affect me for the pill, or is that just for Medicaid? This is only for Medicaid, right?
Yeah, it's only government controlled, because your health provider can negotiate with them. Private health care providers can, government health care providers aren't allowed to.
Okay.
So what they're hoping is they can get more people covered by reducing the cost of paying for the drugs, because the new law would say that, hey, pharmaceutical company, whatever you're paying the veterans, it doesn't matter. Whatever you're charging them, you have to charge everybody else the same.
So in other words, my pharmacy is dropping the ball then, or whoever my plan is through.
Well, no, they
don't negotiate very good.
Well, it all depends. You would have to figure out what your insurance company pays for the pill, what the VA pays for the pill, and what the state pays for the pill. But the only group that's not allowed to negotiate is the state.
Which is the Medicaid.
Yep, the state. Well, but it's a lot of other things in the state, too. Like I said, it's also the Best RX program. It's the Ohio HIV Drug Assistance Program. They cannot negotiate with the state. They have to pay whatever the pharmaceutical company says they have to pay.
Interesting. I know you had to go here in a second, but I just wanted to touch base on the other subject that you were talking about this afternoon.
Go ahead.
A little bit of it. I didn't get to hear a whole lot of it because I woke up late. But you said you had Kurt, is that his name?
Kurt Moore, yes.
Yeah, Kurt Moore, and he was he worked for the Marion Star. Is that
Marion City Schools?
Oh, Marion City Schools. Okay, so I missed something. I just heard you say something about Marion. So, tell me a little. Give me a little background on that. It's something about the something's closing.
Yeah, the Marion City Digital Academy is closing, which has 140 students in it. The Marion City School Board voted to close it on Monday.
And I guess I missed why. It's because of not enough students?
Funding.
All funding, okay.
Yeah, but they've informed the students, and they are allowed to pick the school that they want to go to, or if they'd like to go to TRECA, or if they'd like to get on a state program that's kind of like what Marion City had, I think that can be arranged.
So that was the Columbus Academy. Isn't that like most of online programming or online schooling mostly?
Yeah, but I don't know what that's for exactly. But I know that TRECA would probably be a likely one in this area that they might go to.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, I wanted to touch base on that a little bit, but yeah, as far as the health thing goes, I guess I'm going to have, since you explained it a lot better, I think we'll have to say yes on that.
Well, it's interesting because it might be hard for it to pass, considering that the pharmaceutical companies are spending $10 million more dollars than the people are who are voting yes.
Yeah, that's what happens, you know. These billionaires, they get in there, they can buy you out, you know. And that's what happens. Money talks, you know.
Well, we'll see what happens in November, but maybe people can clear it out a little bit better.
Or maybe people got and vote and everybody, you know, and can get together and say, you know.
Well,
everybody in Ohio just go vote that day or something.
Well, I'm all for people voting yes or no, but I just think that they need to know what they're voting for.
Well, you know, and it's sad that they made the commercial like that. I mean, you know, to me, when I first started out this conversation, I was totally confused on the until you kind of broke it down. I think it's sad that they do the commercial that way. You know, I know it sells money and stuff like that, but good Lord.
See where it goes. Well, hey, for calling in.
Okay.
Bye-bye. And for this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout. Stay tuned for much more here on WWGH Radio. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address.